let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is Brian Thompson. And it's great to be with you today from Las Vegas here, and we're broadcasting on the Streams of Many Waters podcast network. Great to be there, and with me in studio here, I've got C.K. Thompson once again, and we're just continuing off of a, conversation that we had last week, and welcome.
Hello. Hi, I'm C.K. Thompson.
And I see you've got your... prophetic notebook there, or stuff that,
yes.
And you were going to read something. We're just kind of picking up right where we left off, and what do you got right there?
Okay, what I have here. Hi, everyone. First of all, thank you for tuning in. Thank you. Welcome to, welcome from beautiful Las Vegas. It was this beautiful sunny day today. In fact, I hear that it still is out there. we got up to 104, folks.
Yeah.
So, happy September.
Yeah, it's still warm.
Yeah, it is. It's toasty out there. I took a break. I was going to go for a walk, and I came right back in. It's too hot. Too hot right now, so I'll wait for another time.
Perfect time to record another session here.
Yes, so we took a break. And we were talking about the anointing for the I Want My Knife Back anointing. We were talking about, was it Bobby Connors?
That's correct.
That shared his testimony about how the Lord gave back something, restored to him something precious to him that mattered to him that he had lost. And there's an anointing and angelic interaction where the Lord actually brought it back to him. It basically just fell out of the air and into his hands.
Just like... what happened to those notes that you lost? That's what you were talking about last time.
Right.
They just showed up all of a sudden.
Exactly.
After years.
My folder that is like about 5 inches thick now of dreams, visions, prophetic words that the Lord has given me over the years. And I just jot it down. I just scribble it down real quick when I wake up and put it into this folder. And there was one especially amazing, powerful encounter with the Lord. It was so precious to me, and I had taken it on a meeting with us. I took the original instead of making copies. I took the original to a meeting that we were holding in Salem, Oregon, at the Red Lion there, and I put it in my Bible thinking that the Lord might have me share from that. And that night, the Lord took us a completely different direction, so I didn't get it out of my Bible. But when we got back to the hotel after the meeting that night, I don't know what happened to that paper, and I don't know if I lost it there, or it did not make it back into my folder, and I lost it, and I was like, oh, no. Then that was so precious, and the things that were written on here were so precious, and Mike prayed with me before we moved. It was over 2 years ago, before we moved to Las Vegas, which is a supernatural story all of its own, and again, I guess that'll wait for another time.
Yeah.
But he prayed with me. He went through that folder with me, and we prayed. And we asked the Lord, would you please have angels bring it back to us? I need this. I've got to have it. It's too precious, Lord. And we just asked the Lord to bring it back. And I had not looked in that folder, not seriously, for almost 2 years. It was pretty brutal. Moving down here was pretty brutal. I mean, just in the natural, just so much work. Moving from a 4-bedroom home with a family room and everything, paring down and moving into a 2-bedroom apartment. That's a lot of work. To obey God, we were glad to do it. But when we got here, I took my big fat folder full of visions and dreams and everything and stuck them in the drawer beside the bed. And I rarely looked at it, partly because every time I opened it up, I was looking for that one thing, and it wasn't there, and it just broke my heart, and I couldn't look. So technically a week ago, I opened up that folder, and just opened it wide, laid it on the bed, opened it up, and looked. And lo and behold, the dream that my original handwritten scribbled notes were laying right there on top.
It was just sitting right on the top?
Right on the top.
That's amazing.
It really is. I was like, what? I have not seen this for years. It's not only the original, but it has a follow-up dream that the Lord gave me, a few months later in the same year. And I just sat there and cried, actually, because I knew that it was a supernatural thing that had just happened, that the Lord was restoring something precious that I had lost. And just to kind of catch people up a little bit, the Lord had initiated a series of dreams and visions with me back in the year 2000. I'd always been a dreamer. Just like I said last week in our last podcast, I've been talking all my life, you see.
Imagine that.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's amazing. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast or my own anything, really, like this. Uh-huh. And so I'm really excited about this. So my first go-to thing would be that folder full of dreams, visions, all these things, because that's where my heart is. That's what the Lord has been doing with me. Mm-hmm. And he initiated a series of dreams and visions in the year 2000. He started out talking to me about the supernatural anointing for finances, which is available. He said he was pouring it out on the spirit-filled body of Christ, and it really mattered to him a lot. The distinction that it's the spirit-filled body of Christ. And the only reason I make that point is because he made that point. And so if it matters to him, it matters to me. Mm-hmm. I want him to know that he can trust me. You got to be trustworthy in order for the Lord to trust you. You got to be trustworthy with the little things if you want him to trust you with the greater things. Mm-hmm. And so even things that seem like, well, what's the big deal? It is a big deal to God. He's pouring out an anointing. And I think he started before that, but that's about the time he pulled me in on it and started telling me about it.
Finances?
Yes. And that it matters to God that we are, you know, that we convey things the way he conveys it to us and don't just put our own spin on it. Because, you know, that happens a lot. I mean, in fact, it happens with everyone. Anyone is prophetic in any way, is going to, whether they mean to or not, they're going to put their own doctrinal spin on it when they give any kind of message from the Lord. So you do need to vet your source, and you also need to pray over anything and make sure that you're hearing what the Lord is actually trying to say and not picking up on, because you may be picking up on someone else's spin on something that they believe. And it can actually change a message. That's why it's important to know the word as much as possible. But even as I say that, everybody, you know, pretty much believes they have the correct version of the word. So God just has to use willing vessels, whether we've got our doctrine perfect or not. He doesn't care so much about that as our willingness to allow him to use us. And often he'll just blow our doctrines out of the water anyway, which is a good thing. So, I'd like to just throw in an aside.
Yeah.
Which I do constantly. When the Lord first started giving me dreams and visions, so actually it's been a while. He showed me our church building back in Southern Oregon. I dreamed about it. I saw it in a dream. But we were still meeting in the dance hall in the back room of the Cimarron restaurant. There was a sign on the wall that said, please remove your cowboy hats on the dance floor. It was right behind Mike when he preached Sunday.
So this is in the early 80s, by the way.
Yes, definitely.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes, that was early 80s. And Mike had a beard at that time. And the little girl came in, and she came into church and sat down in front row, and she said, where's Jesus? And everybody was stopped for a second, and then we all realized that she was talking about Mike because he had a beard. I thought it was really... Uh-huh. It was so adorable. Oh, man, everybody laughed. Jesus will be here in a minute, honey.
So that's where we were meeting, and then the Lord gave you a dream on what the church building was going to be.
Exactly.
Where we moved to. What was that?
The Lord showed me in a dream I saw the building. I saw the outside of the building. I saw what it looked like. I saw the brick facade on the front. And I saw that it was, actually, it seemed to me that it was downtown, like not in the suburbs necessarily. It actually ended up being right on the intersection of the two busiest streets in town. But, and I saw that we were going to renovate the inside. The Lord told me a lot. He told me about the inside, and that's one dream and vision, honestly, that I wrote down, and I lost that one. Lord.
Oh, ouch.
Hey, I want my dream back. I want my knife back.
Yeah.
Because he told me all kinds of things that were going to happen in that building. One thing he did not tell me was that someone was going to try to steal our ministry from us when we were in that building. And even after we left that town, I dreamed. I had a dream one night, and I had been asking the Lord, why did you give me a dream about that building? If you knew all along that they were going to do this to us. And the Lord just basically said, he said, watch and see. And I don't know. I still, at times, I just have to leave it with the Lord. Why? Of course, everything in life is an invitation. All those people were given an invitation, and he does that with us a lot. You can't look back and say, oh no, did I miss God by asking that person to be part of things? No, Jesus had a Judas. Jesus knew men's hearts, but God still gives people invitations into their destiny. He gives them an invitation into greatness. What they do with that invitation, we may not have control over. We can pray, we can teach them the word, we can try to mentor, but if they choose to say no to that destiny, to that future that God was holding out and offering them, there's nothing you can do about it. And very often we suffer when they say no.
Sure.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Because, you know, we have free will as human beings. We're not robots, so...
Yes.
You know, everything is invitation. I mean, that starts with salvation.
Exactly.
You have that invitation. Believers start there.
Yes.
And then it moves on to those other things. It's invitation after invitation. And,
exactly.
And you always have the choice. So
that's right.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
That's excellent. Everything is an invitation. Everything in the kingdom. God doesn't just, you know, sit there with a baseball bat waiting for you to make the right choice and like, okay, you screwed up. So bam, everything is an invitation.
Yeah. So with those people, it was an invitation in that particular story that you're talking about. And so it didn't work.
No.
Perhaps as, you know, the outcome wasn't.
No,
it's exactly what we wanted.
It was not, and in fact, I know by the Spirit of God, in fact, he showed me and he told me in a dream that they set back the spiritual atmosphere and the purposes of God in that community several decades, what God was trying to do in that town.
Oh, wow.
They have a lot of blood on their hands when it comes to souls, and that's between them and the Lord, other than he told me that, and... At one point, I didn't even pray for them because I tried to pray for them, and he told me not to.
Oh, wow.
Which really, that also blew me away. Obviously, I'm still here, so didn't blow me that far away, but I'm blown down the street.
Why do you think he did that?
Well,
why do you think he told you not to pray for them?
Probably a couple reasons. It's a very good question. The thing that he said to me was that they had hardened their hearts like Pharaoh. And he told me to step back and let him deal with them and don't intervene and don't intercede.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they had, the kind of sin that they had sinned against, not only us, but against him and the kingdom and what God had, God's intentions for so many people, they sinned big time. And the Lord said he would contend with those who contend with us. He blesses those who bless us, but he also told me, I will contend with those who contend with you. And blew me away. I gotta find another term. That it mattered to him that much. He told me, don't take on the responsibility when you see when I deal with them. I'm going to deal with them. And so I just put him in the Lord's hands. I didn't ask the Lord to punish anybody.
Oh, right.
For sure.
Well,
I would not do that. I just said, okay, hands off. Lord, it's yours.
Yeah, well, it was the opposite because he said you were trying to pray for them.
Yes.
And then he told you not to. So I just thought that's interesting because you don't hear that a lot.
And the thing that I was getting to in all of that was that when I had these dreams and visions, it began then. And that was actually part of the reason that they did what they did to us, was because of the dreams and visions and the prophet ministry that I didn't even recognize and understand myself. So I didn't realize that how many times in conversations I was perceiving things in the room that other people weren't perceiving, and I didn't understand that. And I didn't realize, and I would answer questions that they hadn't asked out loud, but I heard it. And people were getting angry, or they were feeling, I asked the Lord, I questioned him, why is this happening? What's going on? Because I knew my heart, but they were putting motives on me that I didn't have. And, I mean, when you hear somebody saying they didn't love the people, you know, my heart was for souls. I was so excited that we were right there where people were. And the people were coming in, and we were getting them saved right there during the week, you know, between services and stuff. A homeless couple came in to the church, and because they were homeless, they didn't smell good. They were alcoholics. They needed Jesus. That's why we were there. It was because of they that are sick need a physician, you know?
Right.
And I was praying for those people. I was praying for their souls. Man, we were ministering to them every time we got a chance. We helped them, our church, and the ladies in the church, God bless them. I mean, they got together and they got all this kitchen stuff together, and we rented them a studio apartment and helped them get established. They accepted the Lord, and I was still trying to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Because I knew that if they would get baptized in the Spirit, they'd be able to have a shot at living for the Lord and overcoming and becoming victorious over the alcoholism. But I knew that without the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that their ship was sunk, man. I just knew it.
Yeah.
And, but this ongoing joke in the background, in the back office, I would hear people joking at, or across the table at dinner after church. They would say, hey, when we're going to baptize them, make sure you give them a bar of soap. This is coming from the leadership.
Right.
I couldn't believe my ears. My heart broke listening to that kind of talk. I'm like, really? You can't be serious. You don't joke about things like that. These people's souls are in the balance, and they're talking about give that guy a bar of soap.
Right.
Something was seriously wrong. And so there was
footprints on the new carpet.
Oh,
or something about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are other
mud on the carpet, fingerprints on the walls. Oh no, we can't let the people do this. How dare they? And I'm like, are you kidding me here? Thank God. There's people coming in. People are finding Jesus. People are coming to know the Lord. If the place is too, if your carpet is too precious that you don't want those people.
Right.
To walk on your precious carpet.
Yeah.
Because you've just turned that building and your carpet into a golden calf, man.
Yeah, that's what was going on there.
Totally.
That's what they cared about.
They did.
And, they wanted to be the right. Well, they wanted some of the leadership people. Just they wanted the church to grow with the people they wanted to.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, what made them feel good, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, some nice rich people and people that made them feel good, not just about helping the lost.
Right. Exactly. No, and they were and there's nothing wrong with being rich, but
no.
They used their money. I just want to make this point because I know you know that. But those were the kind of people that used their money to manipulate pastors. And that's such an affront to God, which is probably part of the reason he told me don't pray for them. Because that's what they were trying to do.
Coming back around to that.
Yeah.
Right.
And they tried to use money to manipulate us. They tried to use politics to manipulate us. They tried to get me out of the picture because they referred to me as Mike's crazy wife. And they wanted my position, actually, of being close to Mike and be able to dictate to him what he should do and what he shouldn't do. And they wanted him to go to all their political stuff and... be the figurehead, and they saw the anointing on him. And it was like in the book of Acts, was it Simon the sorcerer? There was a couple of them.
Yeah.
There was a couple of sorcerer guys. One who wanted to buy from the Apostle Paul or Peter the ability to lay hands on people and have them baptized in the Holy Spirit. He actually wanted to buy that power from them. And then, and I believe it was Paul said, "Your money perish with you." He wanted to buy the power over the people. Mm-hmm. He was used to being, he was a sorcerer in the town. I mean, supposedly.
Yeah, it was Simon.
Was it Simon?
Yeah.
You looking it up there?
In
you got
the 8th chapter of Acts, yeah.
Okay. And that's a lot of what we were dealing with right there. They thought they could use their money to buy us. And, you know, I even told them, this pastor is not for sale. I've had to say that to a whole lot of people over the years. It's amazing how many people think that preachers are for sale. Mm-hmm. And they flash, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in front of your face. And if you'll just do this and just, like, tone down the worship a little bit, how about when you worship, don't speak in tongues, just pray, sing mm-hmm. in English, but not tongues. Just leave the tongues out and just only pray for people to get baptized in the Spirit in the back room.
Right.
And we would just say, you know, I didn't actually say to anyone's face that I can remember right now. I didn't mm-hmm. say, your money perish with you.
Yeah.
I may have said that to one or two along the way.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because that is just so wicked. They just have,
yeah.
They really don't understand how wicked it is to try to use their money to control the anointing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, how dare they?
Yeah,
what kind of arrogance
attached.
Is yeah. that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you guys have never succumbed to that temptation. I know that. And it's,
absolutely
it's always,
not.
And it's kind of sad to think about the fact that a lot of times those people just have to move down the road, and it's not too hard to find someone else who will.
That's true.
That's the sad part.
That's the sad part. And that's the thing about the church religious system. It is a system. And there's so many good people that are trapped in the religious system that think that they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to serve God. But they mm-hmm. Are seriously deceived in thinking that that's the only way that you can serve the Lord is within that system.
Yeah.
And they don't know that you can get out of that system. You don't have to be part of the religious system and still have a big, prosperous church that's actually doing what Jesus wants to have done in the earth and not just doing churchism. We're not there to take care of everybody's little social needs. We are here to reach the nations, to fly the name of Jesus, saying it to me, fly me to the nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm a revivalist. I know. When I get into meetings, if it were up to me, every service, everybody would be on the floor in a pile, laughing, crying. And it happens a lot. Mike's more of the teacher. And we need it. We need the word. Without it, people get in trouble. And that also brings me around to what I was going to say in the first place.
Uh-huh.
When the Lord first started, really bringing the dreams and visions back in the 1980s, even. I forgot about that until we started talking. I asked him, Lord, would you please, when you do this, I know that if an angel comes preaching any other gospel, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. That's what the word says. He tries to masquerade as an angel of light. And if people don't know the word, they can get taken off on a spiritual wild goose chase, which ends up in sorrow, and they're out there and blind guides. You don't want to be standing before the Lord and him saying, I never knew you. Well, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Hey, you didn't know the word. You didn't know my voice. So you followed a false voice of prophecy. It's serious business.
Yeah, it is.
And so I asked the Lord, would you please, when you visit me this way and you show me these things, would you please give me a scripture, actually two, if you can, two or three, because it says by the word of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Yeah.
So I asked him, would you give it to me in the vision or dream? Is that okay for me to ask? And he was fine with that. And he actually, to this day, he still does that. He gives me chapter and verse. So I've had visions, actual visitations from Jesus himself. And he'll talk to me about things. And then on his way out, and I'm just so humbled, I'm sitting there like, oh, I feel like I understand why Paul said I'm the chiefest of sinners or whatever. I don't feel like it's something that I feel like it's something that other people, it happens to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And to even know that it happens to me is like, it's been hard for me to believe at times that God would do that for me. So why would anyone else believe that God was speaking to me? But he does. So I got to step up, which is what he actually told me to do. And, but he'll be like on the way out the door, turn around, look at me, and then give me chapter and verse. By the way, that's in Job, and it's in such and such, and give me the, the verses.
Mm-hmm. So he honors that request.
He does, to this day.
Shows you where it is, yeah.
He shows it to me in the Word.
That's good.
And I think that's why we do dream vision now, because when I wake up from a dream, it just keeps going into like a vision. Usually my Bible is there involved, and mm-hmm. I will start to open my Bible, and then I usually look away to get a drink of water or something, and when I look back, my Bible is open to something else. There's an angel that regularly turns the pages in my Bible, and first I thought it was my imagination.
Yeah, that's been happening for years now,
yeah.
A lot of years.
It has. It's been it's awesome. It's amazing what the Lord does.
Yep.
So he does that.
Yeah, so he'll back up, you know, just kind of what you're saying. The Lord will back up in the Word, in the Bible, experiences that you're having, dreams,
yes.
Prophecies, you know, and then you know that you're not just, you know, something crazy is not happening. Or even worse than that, if it's like a false voice of prophecy and you're not getting into some weird kind of doctrinal error or something like that because you have it all confirmed. You're very careful about making sure that it's confirmed in the Word.
Yes.
And so that's good.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that could use that practice nowadays that should do that.
Yes. And a lot of people that think that they don't even need the Word of God anymore because they're getting visitations. Well, this is open heaven season, man. This is the time. You better know the Word.
Yeah.
This open heaven, and in fact, the spiritual realm is so accessible at this time on planet Earth that, you know, people that aren't even saved, don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, are having encounters with the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And people are very hungry for that, which is why prophetic evangelism is extremely effective right now. It can work with some intellectual people, but most people are just, they're really hungry. There's just a hunger in the world right now for things supernatural. And you can even tell by watching TV or whatever, you know, The Walking Dead and all that stuff. People are hungry for the vampire stuff, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, no, stuff like and ghost hunters and things, ghost stories, kind of, a lot of things.
Right, and they're hungry for things supernatural, and Jesus is he's introducing himself right now. He's giving encounters to people out there, because it says, whoever asks, he says, ask, seek, and knock. There are people in the world out there right now asking if God exists. They're asking him at night in their beds. They're like, God, are you even there? And he's answering them. He's answering. He is giving these people, and most of them are probably someone in their life is praying for them. But if not anyone specific, we're interceding in the spirit for God knows who, literally, all the time. But he's introducing himself to this generation in a way that he has not really so much in the past. He has here and there, but now it's much more widespread. The spiritual realm is open, and he's introducing himself to the world and reintroducing himself to the body of Christ. And it's important to have firm footing on the Word and yet not be afraid of the spiritual things. Because I know some people that, you know, it's really It's laughable almost. They don't like the phenomena. Or they don't like, and these are, I'm talking about spirit-filled believers.
Yeah.
They've got these pet doctrines and they hang on to it and say, this is like, this is the end of it. Like, when we got here, that's when God quit. we're not going any further. And they don't realize, you know, that was kindergarten, guys. Uh-huh. We're not supposed to stop on this journey. We don't ride the wave to the shore and camp there. I mean, there's all these different illustrations.
But right.
He's called us to, you know, I'm going out and catching the next wave. I'm not going to miss out on anything God's doing, you know, but you have to know the word, but don't be afraid of the spirit. It's the word and the spirit. One without the other is going to cause you trouble.
Yeah.
You got to have both. That's where the power is. You got to know the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You can't have the kind of faith it takes to do mighty exploits and miracles if you don't know the word and don't have faith that goes with it.
Right.
It's enough power in the Word of God to bring itself to pass. And God has put creative power in our mouths. He needs prophetic people to speak His purposes into the atmosphere so that it can come to pass.
That's good.
So light be. We are called to create. And that was actually one of these things that He gave back to me that He restored. Uh-huh. Called to create.
Uh-huh.
We are called to create heaven on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what is God's will in heaven? If people don't get it, they just say the Lord's Prayer. They whoop through the Lord's Prayer without even thinking about it. Everything's covered in that prayer, by the way. If you don't know what to pray, just pray the Lord's Prayer.
Sure.
It's all covered in that prayer. But you got to know the word, at least enough so that you are His sheep that knows His voice, so that when you get out there into the heavenlies, and the Lord takes us to third heaven, and I was so busy writing, helping Mike write about his third heaven encounters.
Yeah.
I forgot some of the things the Lord did with me. I've got all these things I've been reading, and He said to me, then and now, I've made you an eyewitness of the future. We are eyewitnesses of the future. Do you know how much faith it takes to say that? To believe that?
Right.
I'm looking at these things that were written down 10, 12, 15 years ago, longer. And we're living it now. But things I'm writing now, it's not going to take as long to live it as that last. It's like the further you see, oh boy, there's so much there. First of all, it's speeding up. The angel of acceleration was dispatched back in right around 2010, 2011. And things are being speeded up in the atmosphere. And prayers are being, long-standing prayers are being answered much more quickly. I mean, things that people forgot are just happening. And
so that's what the angel of acceleration means?
Yes.
And what it does?
The angel of acceleration. Yeah, I've got it on one of these papers, too. Mm-hmm. One of my mini notes. And right after I wrote that down, we met Kathy Walters. And she was talking about the angel of acceleration.
Oh, wow.
And I was leading worship while she was sitting in the front row, and I saw an angel sitting on the floor next to her, leaning up into Kathy's lap during worship, out of the corner of my eye. And then every time I turn and look at her, like, what? And I didn't see anything. And so I turned back. I usually just lead worship with my eyes closed and just go there. And if you want to follow, you can. I don't get up there with the pom-poms and give me a J and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I have to get into the glory and the presence of God myself. And I invite everyone to follow me. Let's go. So I would do that. And then I'd open my eyes a little bit, and out of the corner of my eye, I kept seeing that thing. I kept seeing an angel in white, sitting on the floor next to Kathy, leaning on her lap, and I turned and looked at her. She probably wondered why I kept looking at her during the worship. And later when she got up to speak, she said that she didn't stand during the worship because there was an angel seated beside her on the floor, leaning against her lap.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow. Oh, my goodness. It was God.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kind of phenomena, which a lot of people say, well, what's the point in that? You know, what's the big deal? Well, do you remember when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, people? Some of you remember, especially some of you, Joshua's and Caleb's, you know? Think back. Joshua and Caleb go first. Think back of the encounters you had with the Lord. And when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, what a huge step of faith that was for some of us. And yet you were willing to step out of the boat and walk on the water because Jesus was out there saying, come. Like Peter saying, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. So Peter stepped out of the boat and he started walking. He did not sink. You know, a lot of people, I heard one preacher preach that Jesus, that Peter looked around and doubted and sank to the bottom. That is not in the Word, folks. Peter, it says he began to sink. He didn't sink. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was walking on the water towards the Lord. And that's what we were doing. It says that, you know, he saw the wind and the waves and he began to sink and he cried out to the Lord, who immediately grabbed hold of him and they were, you know, back on solid ground immediately. Yeah. Uh-huh. So the Lord didn't let him sink. And that case, I think they walked back to the boat together. He walked on the water. We used that illustration back in the day to help people accept that being baptized in the Holy Spirit and that tongues, your prayer language tongues, which is different than tongues with interpretation in the church, prayer language tongues was a step of faith. They took a step of faith. It was from God. And they'd all been taught against it. Mm-hmm. And so, but their hearts were so hungry for what God was doing, because that's what he was doing in the earth, charismatic movement.
Yeah.
They stepped out of the boat. They were willing to do that. And they know then by experience, he met them there. He didn't let them sink. No one sunk to the bottom. The devil didn't give them tongues. people used to say they were afraid to speak in tongues because they were afraid that the devil would make them speak in tongues.
Oh, okay.
I guarantee you the devil will not make you speak in tongues. Not if you ask the Lord for it. Okay?
Right.
The devil's not that powerful, guys. Anyone that speaks in tongues from the devil is somebody that's dyed in the wool, witchcraft, Satanist, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's not someone in church that's seeking God.
Right. It's not just like an accident.
Yes,
like it just happens to you if you kind of are not concentrating. So you're saying it's not like that?
No. Not at all. And so these people know that they had to take a step out of their safe denominational boat or whatever boat they were in order to receive a precious gift in their life that they can't imagine living without now. And yet those same people won't step out of the boat again and allow the Lord to take them into heavenly things. They'll use the same arguments that they did back before they got baptized in the Spirit. Say, I don't need that chapter and verse. It's really sad because I know they're so hungry, but they've seen so much strangeness, for instance, around the prophetic movement. There's always been strangeness around any movement. There's always your fringe element, your weirdos. There's always.
Yeah.
There's always the wannabes and the weirdos and those that, you know, misuse gifts.
Sure.
It doesn't take away from the credibility of the real deal.
Right.
And so I would like to say to anyone out there that does not believe in all that prophetic stuff, and yet I'm doing air quotes while I'm saying this,
yeah.
All that air quote prophetic stuff, remember the faith that it took for you to just receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and receive your prayer language. Remember that. Think about it. And, ask the Lord, what am I missing out on here? Because he wants to open up to you like a whole new world. A whole new world. Like that. That mm-hmm. kind of a whole new world. He wants to take you into the heavenlies and show you things to come. He wants us to be a third heaven people that walk in third heaven authority. He wants us to be people that perceive and see things from the perspective of eternity, which is God's perspective. Because when we start doing that, we're not shadow boxing anymore with the devil or whoever.
Right.
We know we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We can be settled, grounded, and that scripture. Mm-hmm. Well, it says, after you have suffered a while, the Lord will strengthen, settle, ground you. People know what I'm talking about. You know uh-huh. where I'm going with that. You can be a very strong, powerful, word-based, you'd better be a word-based third heaven person in order to actually be the kind of heavenly person God needs you to be. You got to know the word, and you got to be true to the word, because the enemy will try to trick you. I've seen people do the stupidest things, say the stupidest things, and say, "Thus saith the Lord," tack that to it. And
oh,
I'm just,
no.
Oh, man. I don't know what's in the water in Las Vegas, other than, you know,
oh, yeah?
We have to have bottled water brought
right.
in.
Sure. What makes you say that? What are you talking about?
There's some strange teaching about witchcraft around here.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And in the short time that we...
Uh-huh.
We've been, let me see, right now it's been exactly 1 year since we actually started weekly meetings,
uh-huh.
Word of Life World Outreach, South Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
We have had a lot of people come through, which we are used to. There's always the people checking you out, and they want to know whether or not that's what they want. And the ones that stay are generally the people, you know, your tribe. There's a lot of people that just have trouble finding their church until they find their tribe. And once they, you know, other pastors have all kinds of trouble with them, and then once they find their tribe, they're okay. So we understand that. You got to find your tribe. And we have a tribe. And there's people that we click with, or that click with us, and we know that's it. But then there's others that have come through, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been amazed at the number of people that have come to me and warned me about so-and-so that's been coming, and that lady's a witch.
Uh-huh.
Or that couple is a witch, or that guy's a witch, or whatever.
Oh. So everybody's on the lookout for witches.
Yeah, but the tricky thing is, they don't know that same person came to me and pointed out them and said, "You need to be, you know, by way of warning, that person
happened.
Is a witch."
Yep,
they've done
happened.
It.
That's been
they
happening.
Accuse each other of being witches.
Mm-hmm, back and forth. That has happened a bunch
yes,
of times.
It's You're already right. happened, guys. This has been, you've been doing this. You're accusing each other of being witches. Mm-hmm. And
why all the fear? Like
exactly.
such the gross amount of fear about whether somebody's a witch or not. And
exactly.
Trying to point it out. That is definitely something interesting since we've got here.
Uh-huh.
That we've seen.
Isn't that an odd
Vegas? Yeah.
An odd phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I think we have talk about a witch hunt.
Literally.
Don't be afraid, guys, because in the word, did you know that witch craft and sorcery is listed in there with the works of the flesh? I'm not to say that it doesn't have power or whatever, but compared to Jesus, you can squash witchcraft like a bug.
You don't have to be deathly afraid of it.
Yes. And it's a work of the flesh, right in there with all the other works of the flesh. It's in Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, is what he said. He didn't say try to control your flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. It's the other way around. Backwards. Guys, that's backwards. But walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And but once you get to know the word, you don't have to be afraid. You have the ability to discern. And, you know, walking in love. I need to say this. This was the thing, the bottom line that the Lord told me on all of those things.
Okay.
The supernatural anointing for finances, the anointing for supernatural youth, which I'll have to get into another time. And I'm going to have some guests. And I also want you to send me your emails so I can answer questions, etc.
Oh, yeah. What's your email address?
ckthompson777@gmail.com.
All right. Send your questions there, folks.
Yes. And I will answer as many as I can. Can't make any promises here. But the Lord said the only requirement to walking in these things is that we have to walk in love.
Yeah.
There's a reason that 1 Corinthians chapter 13... the love chapter is nestled right in the middle of all of the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't walk in love, you can't walk in any of the other stuff. We can't.
Good point.
And he also made a point of saying that it was not the sappy, syrupy, saccharine, codependent religious love that often gets passed off as love. But it's God's agape love, the love of God that speaks the truth, but in love and cares for the good of the person and sees them through God's eyes. That's the only
requirement.
The only requirement.
Or prerequisite.
Yes.
Yeah.
To walking in any of the blessings of God. Yep. We've got to walk in love.
That's right, yeah. And we're going to have to go ahead and leave it there for today. That's okay. A great place to quit. And that is exactly
I love you guys.
Need.
Love and, you very much.
Yeah, so thanks, everyone, for listening. It's been really fun to do this. And again, just check out our website, wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Has all the information about us, about meetings. There's a lot of resources there. There's blogs, prophetic words, videos. Check it out. Go ahead and click through that site. That's good. And then, go ahead.
And always remember, prophets don't wear plaid.
Okay. And there you go. Yes, they don't. I guess that's the rules
that's
now.
That's a joke. It's a joke.
Right. That's the rules now.
Subscribe.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.